Last week's arrest of Philippines journalist Maria Ressa by the government of President Rodrigo Duterte shocked many. She was recently named as one of Time magazine's Persons of the Year for her efforts to maintain an independent voice for news in the Philippines by way of the news website she founded, Rappler.com. A newly organized group in Hawaii is rallying to support free speech for her and for other journalists in the Philippines. Catherine Cruz spoke with Arcy Amasa and Ellen Ray Cachola about what they see as human rights violations in the Philippines. We hear first from Arcy Amasa.
So we are the Hawaii Committee for Human Rights in the Philippines. It is a network of individuals and organizations in Hawaii. We are concerned about the worsening human rights situation in the Philippines, and we are committed to working to raise awareness on the ongoing human rights situation in the Philippines. Our members come from different professions in the community. Currently, we are all based in Oahu. Last year, we got together and formed this committee in our efforts to respond to the recent killing of Attorney Benjamin Ramos. Attorney Ramos is a human rights defender based in Negros, Philippines, and was a people's lawyer. At the time, he was shot in front of a small store in a community by an unidentified gunman. There were strong indications that the government of Duterte had to do with his killing because of his political work at that time and his work as a lawyer for the sugarcane workers, peasants in the community. Anyway, so our committee got together in November last year. We formed our group in solidarity with the other human rights groups and individuals around the world condemning the worsening human rights situation in the Philippines under the Duterte government.
We just had this development with Maria Ressa, the journalist, who was the Person of the Year, and her arrest came down. What was the reaction in the community?
We were completely shocked, but also feeling that this situation is a continuation of ongoing traumatic information coming from the Philippines. So we also know that she was speaking out against the Duterte regime, and he was trying to get her organization for various tax evasion, and this time it's cyber libel issues. And so all of the background past information about Duterte's tactics around human rights violations, and then with her being arrested, we already felt like there's some kind of framing going on because of there's this longstanding problem. So I feel that it's time to speak out and to be very vocal about this situation. It's scary, and it's time for the people of Hawaii to pay attention and to try to find a way to do something about this.
Now, I've talked to folks in the community who have family in the Philippines, and they go back to visit, and they'll come back with stories about what's happening in their village. Do you folks have any firsthand experience?
Yeah, actually, I myself am a migrant. My family moved to Hawaii in 2007. My parents and my siblings did. I come from a family of farmers in the northern Luzon of the Philippines. And I had a lot of friends who were actively involved in actions, actively working for not just human rights, but a lot of socioeconomic issues. And it's difficult not to be in opposition to the government policies because it's so obvious that the government is not really serving the interests of the people, especially the working people and the farmers in the communities. And so I met a lot of people who are opposed, who became activists. 2 years ago when I went back to Philippines, like, I got in touch again with my friends and then get to spend time with them. But months after I came back to Hawaii, I heard the news that one of my friends who was a human rights defender, she's very young, but she was one of those who were massacred by the military. And it was very obvious that it was the military agents who did it. They were ambushed. a group of young activists who were trying to get into a peasant community to do more investigations into the ongoing human rights violations themselves. So
were they driving to the village?
Right. They were going into the village when they were ambushed.
And so, Ellen, what about you?
The experiences that I have, there's two experiences. We have a colleague of ours that recently went to the Philippines for these international human rights exposure trips, and she was from the New York, and she went with a group to go back. And she stayed with indigenous communities in Mindanao, with the Lumad communities, and learning about their alternative schools where they're trying to grow their own plants for food security, educate their children about their indigenous culture, because a lot of them are discriminated in the lowland schools in the lower parts of the Philippines because there's an indigenous kind of discrimination. And so she really learned a lot about them, about these communities practicing self-determination and learning to empower themselves through culture. And so that was an example of human rights resilience and activism. But when she came back to the United States, come back to Hawaii and stay here for a couple more months, she learned that the people she stayed with, the three leaders from that community, were killed by paramilitary. So she was devastated, and she actually sparked this campaign with Decolonia Pinay, which is a community group that I'm also part of that precedes High Chirp. And she educated us about this increasing militarization in Mindanao because they wanted the Lumad community's land for mining purposes and logging purposes. So that really started to spread the word here at the local level here.
So you think we're going to see more expressions of, I don't know, defiance or just rallying against what's going on in the Philippines?
Yeah, that's something that our committee, our group, is trying to work for, because right now there are estimated 27,000 victims to the Duterte's drug war. So these are common individuals that are just, you know, just walking by, and then suddenly they get shot by the police, and then the police would just say, They're drug addicts, or they're selling drugs, or, you know, so there's...
Case closed.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. So I feel like there's a lot of us out there that have connections, like deep connections. There are friends and relatives that are victims to the ongoing drug war of the Duterte.
You folks came out in support of a statement that was released by Senator Brian Schatz.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yes, we did. And we applaud him for standing up against the recent arrest of Maria Ressa, because mm-hmm. he is Hawaii senator and he sits on Appropriations mm-hmm. Committee in Congress. And he was involved in a lot of the U.S. Funding aid to the Philippines, and which has went to the military, Philippine military. He's also funding military infrastructure building here in Hawaii, too. So it was really great and awesome that he finally stood up against this arrest, because, you know, what is this military or this funding from U.S. to aid? What is it doing, you know, to these countries? And Maria Ressa is just one symptom of this broader problem that U.S. military funding has been doing in the region, and specifically Philippines. That, you know, I think this is an opening for communities to speak out, because we have a leader who is speaking out, and it gives us courage. We need to start talking as a community about the situation in a different way, to talk about why we're so dependent on military funding and economies. What are other things that we can fund our military funds to, such as education or healthcare? You know, these kinds of like bold questions that I think there are people in the U.S. Congress that are shaping that direction. And I really want us to start, like, you know, thinking in that positive way, because there's so much negativity and trauma that has so much psychological effect on our communities.
What do you think the reaction is going to be from the community here? Because I know lots of folks, I think, have ties to the Locos Norte, which is where Marcos mm-hmm. was
yes.
from. So how does that work with Duterte and the community here?
There is a pro-Duterte perspective out here. And, you know, I think it's because of a certain lack of information about other ethnic and communities in the Philippines and how they are experiencing the situation. And then when you have a break in freedom of the press, like how we've seen with Maria, the communication isn't going, the education isn't happening. And I think, so HICHRP is really staunch in our focus of talking about what's going on in the Philippines from the perspective of indigenous people, the working farmers and the professionals, the advocates and the poor people that have experienced this political situation, and to highlight that, because I think it gets marginalized. And so we don't really, I think that there are those critical pro-Duterte views, but we want to have a different light so that we can shape the public discourse, so we can truly understand from a clear perspective what's going on. So all of us have the responsibility to make an ethical decision on, you know, make our own decision based on the diversity of perspective.
A coalition of human rights groups is planning a day of action in Washington, D.C. sometime in April. You just heard from Ellen Ray Cachola and Arcia Masa about human rights issues in the Philippines and the recent arrest of journalist Maria Ressa, founder of the online news site Rappler.com, who's now out on bail, by the way. Cachola is a lecturer at the University of Hawaii Ethnic Studies Department. Masa is a new doctor, a graduate of the UH School of Medicine. Next week, we hope to bring you an interview with Maria Ressa herself.